Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa DeYoung. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery Podcast. And today we are on episode, I believe, 97, which is incredible. And today we're going to be chatting about nervous system regulation for menstrual health and PMDD. So a little update for me. We are in January 2026 and the Menstrual Coach Academy from last year, so our 2025 cohort, is coming to a close in the next month. And it's just been an absolutely incredible group. I've absolutely loved working with everyone in that course. There's been so many amazing aha moments. The students have been so engaged, a lot of great learning, a lot of great coaching, a lot of great practice. And every year, I believe that most of the students come in expecting just to learn a lot of information. And already they've been telling me that they are leaving with a lot more and that the course has really exceeded their expectations. So that makes me really happy, not just because I'm so proud of the course, but because it's very much a co-created group dynamic that I facilitate in that program. And it's the co-created group dynamic that really brings the work to life and brings the course to life and the material and the content. And that's where a lot of the people on the course get their own healing, is by really engaging in the work, showing up for coaching, showing up with their questions, sharing their experiences, sharing their stories, sharing their thoughts, their opinions, their critiques, everything. And it's just a very rich learning environment. It's a completely different way of learning. It's definitely not a way of learning where we're just absorbing lots of information and trying to remember everything. We're very much learning from a place of skill set and becoming the kind of coach that we want to be. I did say to my students in the course last week, because they were asking me about more support with coaching practice, and I said to them, if I had it my way, the Menstrual Coach Academy course would be like six years long, maybe even longer, because the skill set required for this type of work, it's a life's work, really. It's not just a short course that you can take. Now, of course, I have to teach that and sell it and make sure that a high standard course of this type exists out in the world. And this is my contribution to this space. But what's so beautiful about it is that everyone in that group can really see that and really appreciates it. And what they're taking away is a whole different way of thinking about coaching, a different way of being with the material in the program, even for themselves. A lot of the work we're doing in the Menstrual Coach Academy is also on ourselves and each other and our own healing and our own relationship with our menstrual cycles and our nervous systems. So it is deep work, and I'm very excited to let you know that the doors for the 2026 cohort are officially open. So you can head on over to the link down below or go to the website menstrualcoachacademy.com and you can join there. We are starting in July 2026 and we're running from July to December. So you've plenty of time to look into what the course is all about and make sure it's a good fit for you and submit your application. So very, very excited about that. Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to continuing this program and working with you. I know some of you have been sending me emails and it's been so lovely connecting with you. You've been listening to my work for quite a while now, and I see you, I hear you, and I'm excited to get to work with you and support you in your own journey of becoming the brilliant coach that you are going to be, or the brilliant facilitator or educator. And we are also launching the Menstrual Mastery Collective. So this is a group membership. It's not a space for learning how to be a coach. That's in the Menstrual Coach Academy. The group membership Menstrual Mastery Collective is for people who are only interested in doing this work for themselves. You are, of course, welcome to join both programs. I often have people in different courses, but we will be opening up doors to that as well in 2026. So let's move on to today's topic, nervous system regulation for menstrual health and PMDD. So why is the nervous system so important and nervous system regulation so important for our menstrual cycle, in particular for people who have or who identify as having PMDD? And I would also include in that people who struggle with endometriosis, period pain, PMS, any kind of suffering related to the menstrual cycle, or even if you have other chronic pain issues in your body. So, this is the core of my work, and it is absolutely transformational, not just when you learn this in your head, but when you learn and when you get support with embodying this stuff. Okay, so I cannot stress how important the nervous system is when it comes to menstrual health. So, the nervous system essentially, and when you join the program, you'll learn so much more than what I'm going to talk about now. But for the purpose of the podcast, I'm going to go over it again. And I know that you already know this, but let's just chat about it again. So we've got the three different places where our nervous system can be, simply put. Okay. So we have the fight flight response, we have the freeze response, we also have fawn. I'm not going to talk about that today, but we're going to talk about the freeze response, the flight response, and then the rest and digest response. Okay. In the theory of the polyvagal theory, which is a theory that was, I guess, discovered because it always existed. It was discovered and the language was coined by a neuroscientist called Dr. Stephen Porges. They talk about the sympathetic response in the nervous system, the dorsal vagal response, which is the freeze, and then the ventral vagal, which is the rest and digest. Okay, so there's these different places in the nervous system where we can kind of be living in, relating from, behaving from, thinking from as well. Okay, so that's very important. Thinking, behaving, relating, feeling, and being, and even physically moving, physically. So it's all our ways of showing up in the world can be, are going to be influenced by these different states in the nervous system. Okay, so why is this so important for our menstrual cycle? The reason this is so important for our menstrual cycle is because if you relate to somebody who spends a lot of time in the fight flight response, the sympathetic response, and or the freeze response, the dorsal vagal, this most likely is part of your story of your menstrual health. Why? Because the sympathetic response is driven by the hormones cortisol and adrenaline. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. This is all very normal and a good thing because we need cortisol and adrenaline to swerve if we're driving and there's something dangerous happening on the road, or to run away from a situation that is dangerous or risky, or we need to be able to freeze if something very dangerous is happening. Okay, so these are all normal, healthy things that we are given in our nervous system. But the problem is that because of our past, because of our upbringing maybe, or because of experiences we had, also beliefs we have, what can happen is we can stay stuck and our whole nervous system can be wired to stay stuck in a perpetual fight or flight, sort of like low-lying anxiety place or low-lying kind of freeze place. And why is this an issue? This is an issue because the energy that is required for the nervous system to keep the on button on is a lot of energy that is going to protecting you rather than sending that energy to helping you thrive. Okay, so helping you be in rest and digest, helping you live your life, letting your nervous system relax, and letting that inflammation come down. So if you're constantly having to pump out adrenaline and cortisol and stress hormones all the time just to stay in this protective mode that you probably don't even need anymore, that's a lot of energy and a lot of inflammation unnecessarily. And it then has a knock-on effect on the biological environment of your whole body, your thoughts, your feelings, who you are, your identity, all of us, okay, all parts of us. It has an impact on our digestive health, our cardiovascular health, our hormonal health, etc., etc. Okay, so the nervous system is in my courses, I start with that. I start with the nervous system. I don't even touch menstrual cycle awareness until we have a good foundation in understanding the nervous system. It's like a house without foundations. We have to understand and know that there's foundations there before we can build walls and choose rooms and decorate. Okay, so this is very, very important. Another reason why this is very important is because with the menstrual cycle, okay, so if you are someone with a cycle, whether you are, it doesn't even matter what kind of menstrual cycle, okay, you can be in perimenopause or have an irregular cycle, okay, but if you are someone who identifies as having a cycle, you are going to go through fluctuations every month or whenever you're cycling where estrogen is going up and down, okay? Generally, after ovulation, when estrogen, it drops, it means that something happens in the nervous system, okay, something called the HPA axis within the nervous system. And the drop of estrogen makes the female nervous system more sensitive to the fight or flight response, okay? So to the fight or even the freeze response, okay? So if you think about it this way, like our hormones, are particularly estrogen in the first half of the cycle, create a lovely buffer, like a nice cotton wool lagging jacket around your soul, okay, around your nervous system, around you, who you are, and we have this nice comfort blanket. And then when estrogen drops mid-cycle, the jacket, the buffer goes away, and then our nervous system is more exposed and we can be more sensitive to triggers. So we can become more irritable, we're more sensitive, particularly if you identify as having neurodiversity. This plays a role here too, okay? And we're all learning about this as well, that the neurodiverse brain has a different relationship with female sex hormones and then the nervous system and then estrogen and progesterone. So our sensitivity is going to change as our hormones change with the menstrual cycle. And that is very important to understand. Well, because it helps us understand ourselves and it stops us from having expectations on us to be normal all the time. And it gives an understanding of exactly what's happening for us, particularly in that premenstrual phase. Okay, so let's continue with this. And I know a lot of you now already know that your nervous system is so important. And what can happen is we take on this message that we need to be regulated all the time. We can't have stress in our lives. If we're overly activated, then this fear of pain or symptoms is going to come in, particularly for people with pain and with PMDD. And we kind of, the way we relate to this information can almost become a protective response in itself, okay? And that's not what we want either. And so very often people think, oh, I need to reduce the stress. I need to heal all my trauma. I need to figure out everything from my past. I need to have very strong boundaries and keep life away from me and people and then keep all activation away from me. And then, you know, then I can heal my cycle and then I can live my life. Okay. So this is the kind of like maybe the first stage that can happen after people discover all this stuff about the nervous system. But what happens is it's like we're using the information about the nervous system to create more stress and to create more problems, and it can become very stressful. Now, granted, it is very helpful to understand, oh, I have a very sensitive nervous system, or oh my God, I've been living in the fight or flight response all my life. How do I come out of that? And so that is really, really good. And it's really helpful to go through a process where we start to get curious about, you know, certain things that are no longer good for us and things that we want for our lives. But we also want to be careful that we're not going into this protective response with the information itself. So I'll give you an example. I have regularly clients and students in my programs who have done incredible healing work and they've made so much progress and loads of, you know, coaching or therapy, or they've taken loads of courses and loads of self-awareness. And they kind of get to this place where they want to achieve something or create something or do something, but they feel stuck. And they might say something to me like, I work really, really hard at my healing. I work so hard at my self-awareness. I work so hard at my regulating my nervous system. And then for me as a coach and as a facilitator, when I hear those words, I work really hard, a little alarm bell goes off in my head, because my coaching for them is usually, I want you to not work hard anymore. I want you to let go. I want you to trust yourself. I want you to surrender. And I want you to embrace life. And I don't want you to work hard. And then it kind of hits them. It sort of, they realize, oh, I'm like over efforting on my healing journey and I'm in a fight flight kind of relationship with this. Okay. So that's something that I see. Another thing that I see is that's often not talked about when it comes to the fight flight response is very often our fight flight response can get triggered by our very own thoughts. Okay. And the way that we speak to ourselves. So usually when you think about the fight or flight response, and if I was to ask you, how does that show up for you? Most people would say to me, oh, I'll be rushing around. I'll be very stressed, very overwhelmed, you know, like late for things and just not able to enjoy myself and relax and getting irritated at people and snapping and maybe getting angry. But we forget to think about what's happening in our heads and the story we're telling ourselves or what we're doing. So some examples of the fight flight response internally are comparing ourselves to other people, having very high expectations of ourselves, giving ourselves a hard time, judging ourselves, shaming ourselves, not allowing ourselves to be in our imperfection, not allowing ourselves to be in our vulnerability, and thinking we have to have all our ducks in a row and you know, have ourselves quote unquote together. What else? Just feeling like we have to kind of do it all and be it all and do all the things. So when you're thinking about your fight flight response, I also want you to reflect on the probably crazy assumptions we put on ourselves, expectations, comparing ourselves to other people, giving ourselves a hard time. You know, even when I see clients who are completely burnt out and struggling with their energy, and then they'll go and watch Netflix, and then they feel guilty for that, you know? And then my prescription to them as their coach is to, I usually say to that client, okay, I want you to like let yourself watch Netflix for a whole day and just park the critic, park the guilt, you know? That's your homework. Can you do that? Can you just actually enjoy yourself watching television and just chill? So this is the sort of like the internal battle. I have a coach who calls it internal self-abuse, which I kind of hate that term, but I also love it because it really says it as it is. So it's something to think about is that kind of inner voice that we're having and how we're relating to ourselves as well is really, really important. Another way that our fight or flight response can be on is by And these are very often old patterns, old habits, old ways of behaving that we don't even see. And they're not as loud and explicit. So it's very hard to identify them. But if you're, say, struggling with your mental health or your physical health, and then your default is to isolate and to completely withdraw and to avoid and to just completely avoid and wait for it to pass until you like are ready to show yourself to the world and be in connection. That's also a very black and white way of relating, quite a lonely way of relating. And it's a lot of expectation on yourself and denies, you know, your own humanity and your need for connection when you're at your most vulnerable place. And sometimes a connection can just be a call, a text. This is one of the reasons why I facilitate groups and I'm setting up the Menstrual Mastery Collective is to provide a space for people and for women to have where they can send a message into the group or come on a Zoom call, have a chat with me, turn their camera off and just be in their vulnerability and receive some love and connection and some encouragement when you're having a shitty day, right? So this is another way that we relate to ourselves is just denying ourselves care from others when we're struggling. Another one can be having a relationship with your health and your well-being, and particularly your menstrual cycle, your PMDD, your endometriosis, that is only rooted in this needs to be fixed, and this is what I'm going to do. And no inner work in terms of like self-love, compassion, processing emotions, reflecting on our past, reflecting on our relationship with our menstrual cycle. Healing through shame, all of that stuff, all of the stuff that I see when people do this inner work, people change their whole experience of their menstrual cycle. It's incredible. So that's another thing, is if we're only in that kind of like very medical, needs to be only research, it needs to be only medical, and I'm going to fix this menstrual cycle. And like I said in a podcast before, our health and our menstrual cycle, no matter what the research, it has a life of its own, it has a mind of its own, it has an energy of its own. I think I might have called it like a ferocious feminist force, which it is. And we have to learn to respect it and be present with it and listen to it and be curious and also do the medical thing and the self-care and the health and all that. Okay. So it needs a lot of spaciousness. And there's lots of other ways that I see that we can be in this fight or flight or freeze response in how we relate to the world and how we relate to others. It could be people pleasing, it could be even being in entitlement or having very high expectations of others or wanting to change others that we have no control over, etc. And, you know, these are all ways that we can reflect on in terms of who we are, how we relate to ourselves, and how we can learn how to be more in the rest and digest place of the menstrual cycle, the ventral vagal of the menstrual cycle. Even learning how to receive relationally is also a big one, because if we've spent our lives being in control, fixing, analyzing, learning information, being in that kind of more what they call the sort of the via positiva, the masculine outward energy with ourselves, with our lives, with our menstrual cycle, with people around us, with our work as well, it can actually be very, very triggering to start to like drop all of that, drop the defenses, let go, start to trust ourselves, start to trust others, like allow ourselves to receive help. That there's a lot of vulnerability in that, a lot of vulnerability. And this is why this work takes time. This is why I'm starting a membership, because it's not work that you can just do from a book or even do within a 3-month course. It does require longer. I'll give you an example from my own life, just a really simple example you might relate to. So, in my relationship with Richard, when we moved in together, and just kind of like, you know, when you're living with someone, whether it's a partner or friend or somebody new, you start to see how you relate to each other and how you give and how you receive, etc. And I remember there were times where he would just do like more housework than I was used to from my other experiences of being in relationships, which was really good. And so he would be cooking more than I would be. And I remember him doing like hoovering, the vacuum cleaning. And I remember thinking to myself, like, oh God, like I must do something because he's doing the cooking or he's doing the vacuum cleaning. And I can't just sit here and do nothing, you know? And I felt this guilt come up and this feeling of like, kind of almost like I was useless, like a uselessness feeling, a guilt. I wouldn't say shame, but just this like discomfort with him doing the work and me not. And anyway, there's a few parts to this. You can look at it from different perspectives because obviously we have good balance in our relationship, that I'm not worried about it. And we're free to say, you know, what we need help with, etc. now. But back then I felt guilty and it made me realize, oh, I struggle with receiving, you know, just receiving from him, letting him cook dinner and receive without feeling guilty. And that was really hard for me. That was really hard for me to just let myself receive and receive the help. And so it can still show up for me sometimes. So my little trick for this, because I always like a hack, I think it's good to have a little trick when you are able to identify your kind of edges and your vulnerabilities within your nervous system healing and support yourself through the kind of the discomfort. So when that discomfort would arise for me, I would then, instead of just sitting there and like feeling uncomfortable and feeling awkward, I would say to myself, Lisa, like go and watch television and paint your nails, because you wanted to paint your nails all week and you got a new nail varnish and you wanted to try it out and you haven't done it yet. So I would have to like do something like that, you know, do something nice for myself or go take a bath or take a shower or do some yin yoga on YouTube and not do something like productive, like my work or my business or cleaning, but rather, can I do something nourishing for myself? And that, can be really hard to start to do if you're so used to being really useful and productive and getting things done. And you're also struggling with receiving and burning out and you want to change the dance. So I would say to think about little hacks that you can do when you notice yourself struggling with all those things that I listed off that are like clues, like these sort of insidious ways that the fight or flight response can show up, whether it's in how you relate to yourself and how you relate to your menstrual cycle, and then how you relate to other people as well. Okay. So it can be like you can just go and do something, not productive, but do something nice for yourself. So if you do notice yourself comparing yourself, here's another example. If you notice yourself comparing yourself to people on Instagram and you're in a spiral and it's taking you away from your own creativity and your own brilliance, and which is very toxic for your creativity, you can just turn off your phone and say, oh, I shouldn't do that, and get on with your day. But then you're kind of left feeling in a bad mood. So why don't you go and say to yourself, gosh, I'm vulnerable to this mega force that is Instagram. And I've been affected by this today, and I'm going to make myself a cup of tea and just soothe myself for a minute and be kind to myself. Maybe I'll go on a walk, or maybe I'll go to my favorite coffee shop and get a cup of tea and do some healing work on the trigger that I just experienced today and think about creativity that I want to bring into the world. So it's all about understanding your nervous system, understanding how you relate, having a good, honest look at yourself. And making a bit of an inventory of all the different, the kind of the more subtle ways that the fight or flight response shows up for you in your life. And then thinking about practical ways, not that you can prevent those things from happening, because we all live in the world and we're going to get triggered all the time. And that's not actually the issue. The question is more about how we relate to ourselves and what we do and how we speak to ourselves and how we treat ourselves when we get pulled around, or when we get triggered, or when we get completely overwhelmed and stressed. It really is about how we relate to ourselves. So, like I said, with the client before who was watching Netflix, binging on Netflix because she was exhausted after working really hard in her very tiring job. But then she was giving herself a hard time internally. That self-abuse was happening. And of course, she wasn't. The Netflix binge wasn't restorative for her, but the Netflix binge can be incredibly restorative if you drop the critic, drop the stick, and usually the binge doesn't last days and days and days. Usually it lasts 2 hours and maybe some chocolate and ice cream, and you can just enjoy that. Or maybe sometimes it does last a day, and maybe sometimes it lasts a week. But if we allow ourselves to really, really drop into it, 99% of the time, we get restoration. And this is exactly the teaching in menstrual cycle awareness and the inner seasons, when we allow ourselves to really drop into the engine room that is the restoration of the inner winter, the menstruation, and we can over time learn how to drop the guilt and the shoulds and the comparisons and the feeling like we're missed, the fear of missing out, and really allow ourselves to receive the restorative blanket of energy that is available to you in the inner winter of the menstrual cycle, you come out renewed and refreshed. Okay. If we resist it, and if we are pushing against it, and if we are not in our receptivity with it, then we are going to come out burnt out because we are ourselves contributing to the burnout. Okay. So that is the message of the day is, there is a lot more nuance to nervous system regulation. And a lot of it has to do with our own thoughts, our own beliefs, our own actions, the choices we have, and our inability to be with what is available to you. What is available to you. And so that's what I wanted to say today. I hope that all makes some sense. And this is a topic I absolutely love coaching on. In the Menstrual Coach Academy, over the last couple of weeks, we've been having peer sessions. So I do essentially one-to-ones. It's like two of my students come and do a coaching session with me, and we do like a rapid fire coaching. And it's incredible. The work we've been doing is amazing. And yeah, I've seen some of my students get like results in like one half an hour chat talking this stuff out, and they come out feeling lighter and relief with things that they have been stuck on for a long time. When we take that nervous system lens and you have someone helping you who is kind of looking at it from the outside in, because it can be hard to unravel ourselves alone. So anyway, going back to how this relates to PMDD, endometriosis, chronic pain, etc., is that when we can learn how to relate to ourselves differently and the world around us differently and give our nervous system a bit of a chance to do what it needs to do, it's going to do wonders for your experience of your nervous system, particularly if you really relate to also having a lot of fear around symptoms and around pain, etc. That's another skill we learn in the Menstrual Mastery Collective, is when you have fear, when you have symptoms, we learn how to regulate your thoughts, regulate your nervous system in the moment when you're having pain, which is also an incredible skill set to have. Only last week I had my period. I'm on day four today. And on day one, I was having some discomfort and I was able to downregulate my pain through my own brain rewiring exercises that I do. It was incredible. And it only took a few hours to shift it. My pain didn't escalate into, you know, crazy, crazy pain and symptoms and fear and, you know, a huge episode. It was just, most of that time, it was just discomfort really more than anything. So that is the podcast for today. Have a reflection on all of that. Let me know what you think. And like I said before, if you would love to join me in the Menstrual Coach Academy, the doors are open for 2026. And if you are looking for support just for yourself, for your own cycle, or maybe somebody you know, you're more than welcome to join us in the Menstrual Mastery Collective. You can join the waitlist below. The doors will be opening this year, but not for a few more months. So make sure to join the waitlist to be the first to hear. And that's it. Lots of love. Talk to you soon. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.